From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. 3 years ago, hundreds of thousands of mostly women gathered on the streets of cities around the country and even outside the U.S. for the Women's March. Coming just as President Donald Trump was getting ready to be inaugurated, the Women's March was a massive show of resistance to what Trump and his anti-woman agenda represented. While Washington, D.C. was considered the main march and was inundated with marchers from all over the country, the largest march of the day was actually in Los Angeles, California, where this program is based. Since then, the Washington, D.C.-based Women's March has been plagued with controversy, as some founders stepped back when accused of anti-Semitism. But the march continues to be held every year, in D.C., in Los Angeles, and elsewhere. Joining me to discuss why the Women's March is still relevant in 2020 is Emiliana Guerreca. She is the president of the Women's March Foundation, which is based in Los Angeles. Welcome to the program, Emmy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So first, the Women's March Foundation is based in LA. Then we have the Women's March in Washington, D.C. What's the difference between the two?
Well, we're two different separate entities. Women's March, Inc. Is based actually out of New York, that has historically organized in D.C. We have different boards. We have different tactics for working, but we do occasionally, especially during March time, we do tend to move in tandem and work together, but we are two separate organizations, separate boards, separate funding, just like any other nonprofit.
So similar branding, of course, which is something you can't escape because the Women's March is, you know, what people associate with the pink hats, the marching, et cetera, happening in early January. But the problems with the national board that had made a lot of headlines are separate from what Women's March Foundation has been doing, right?
Correct. So we have always been separate entities and separate organizations.
Even in 2017?
Yes, even in 2017. What we all did was come together for the march. What we all did was make sure that we were part of the movement. We're all part of the same movement, which is to advance women's rights. But we are all separate entities. And it's a decentralized movement. I mean, there are many chapters out there that are not plugged in either with Women's March Foundation or with Women's March, Inc. I think what is important to remember here is that we are still all out here organizing at different levels, at different capacities, but we're organizing across the nation to advance and protect women's rights.
So the agenda is broad necessarily because, of course, women are more than half the population and the issues that affect us are huge. And so I think that's, of course, also where sometimes the problems get a little bit difficult to enunciate because women have not just reproductive rights issues, but immigration and, you know, poverty, economic justice, climate change, all of these issues. How would you summarize in a nutshell what it is that the Women's March marchers want, both broadly speaking and specifically this year in 2020, heading into Saturday, January 18th, March?
Well, headed into Saturday, January 18th, Women's March Foundation, based out of Los Angeles, we are focusing on women's rights in this critical election for us. The United States is at a point in 2020 where women are still not recognized as equal. Our focus is women rising. Our focus is making sure that the next presidential candidates have women's rights at the forefront, have a clear agenda on advancing, protecting women's rights moving forward. I think that it's critical that we do that. I mean, we have the Violence Against Women Act sitting in the Senate that, you know, it's not getting looked at. We still don't have equal pay. Our main focus for Los Angeles is women's rights, and what that comes with, yes, is broad. However, it's still women's rights as human rights.
And I should also mention that the Equal Rights Amendment is gaining some steam as well. Virginia just became the 38th state to back the ERA. So in 2017, the impetus was huge. We had a president who was openly misogynist being sworn into office. And it felt like a huge, you know, slap in our faces to have this man who talked about grabbing women by their genitals, who's been accused of sexual assault and rape by multiple women, who panders to the evangelical Christian rights anti-woman agenda to step into office. And there were so many women on the streets. Has the march shrunk in size year after year? And if so, why? Is there either loss of interest or a shifting of priorities?
I think that that's part of every movement. Part of every movement has different things that change for the movement. What started as reactionary for us has moved into more impactful work, has moved into registering students, has moved into...
Registering students to vote?
Yes, registering mm-hmm. students to vote across high schools, across college campuses, organizing town halls to talk about the issues that matter locally, which is the key thing for us, is to educate voters on the issues at hand, because an educated voter is a voter that will turn out to vote. So we've moved, yes, beyond marching. I think that the march on Saturday, January 18th is a vehicle to continue activism. Is the vehicle to continue to show up to vote. I mean, we went backwards with the 2016 election for women. We have a president that has put in two Supreme Court justices and Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, who do not believe that Roe versus Wade is settled law. That is a problem for women. And so there are states right now with abortion bans. There are states that want to revisit Roe versus Wade. There are states right now that are fighting on what the ERA ratification means. And they're saying that there are statute of limitations that have passed. So there are a lot of issues that women must continue to show up marching. Women must continue to build political power. And that is where our strength is. Our strength is in mobilizing women to vote, mobilizing women to run for office. So the
And do you consider the congressional midterm elections of 2018, the results of those elections that ended up with so many more women in office as a part of the successes of the Women's March?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When women feel empowered, they are empowered to run for office. We also all have currently, historically now, made history. We have five women as presidential candidates. Two were on the debate stage, a few days ago. So we are making history. We are making progress. But it takes time to achieve equality.
So let's talk about what's taking place this Saturday, January 18th in Los Angeles. And because our audience is all over the country, if you can also let us know where people can go to find out about local marches.
So website is womensmarchfoundation.org, and you are able to plug in your location, zip code, and it will show you where there is a local march. There's also Women's March Global if you are marching outside of the country. So we are all marching Saturday, January 18th.
So Saturday, January 18th, for the those of us in Los Angeles, it's taking place in downtown LA at what time?
Correct. So Saturday, January 18th in downtown LA, we gather at 9, we march at 10 a.m. It takes place at Pershing Square. We start at Pershing Square with a 1.2-mile march to City Hall, where we will also have programming there from 11 to 2. So gather at 9 at Pershing Square, Saturday, January 18th.
3 years ago, the march somewhat coincided with Trump's inauguration. In 2020, the Women's March is coinciding with the impeachment trial of President Trump in the Senate. Do you see a connection? Do you expect that marchers will be saying, here's a president we knew was you know, inappropriate for his position, to say the least, facing this impeachment?
I would say an unqualified president. I would say that the most qualified candidate did not win. I think that I mean, we're coming full circle here. We're marching into 2020 with impeachment looming. You know, we're at a crossing point here with democracy. I think that women will elect the next president of the United States. And I think that women will come out to march, women and allies. And it's critical that we do that. It's critical that we continue raising our voices in 2020.
Now, a recent Washington Post article was headlined, "Nobody Needs Another Pink Hat: Why the Women's March is Struggling for Relevance." And I'm wondering if you can address some of the press, and really, sadly, some of the bad press that the Women's March has gotten.
Right, right. So I don't own a hat, so I'm not sure. I will say, however, that it's you know, negative press sells. I think that a lot of people want us to go away, including those reporters. We're not struggling for relevancy. We're continuing the fight for women's rights. No one has ever handed women a right to do anything. No one. It has been a complete fight from day one, from equal pay to voting. I mean, 100 years after we fought for the right to vote, we're still fighting for equality. And in some aspects, that's sad. In some aspects, the fight that women have, we have on our hands, is for equality. And to say that it's irrelevant, honestly, it's clueless.
The headline was a quote from a professor who studies protest movements, Dana Fisher, at the University of Maryland. And she said, right after the election, it made sense for them to have this big march on Washington. But right now, nobody really wants another march on Washington. Nobody needs another pink hat. Is the time, you know, and this is kind of part of a bigger question that has plagued a lot of protest movements, which is, how do you stop a march from sucking up all of the organizing energy? But conversely, how do you stop things like elections from sucking up all of the protest energy? Is it a matter of activists, people who consider themselves activists, figuring out where to prioritize, how to prioritize, and how to balance what's needed in order to effect real change?
I think that, yes. I think that there's a few points. The same professor, Ms. Fisher, you know, talks about no pink hat is needed. However, she also talked about the impact that marching and Women's March had on the elections in 2018. I think that as long as we are progressing in the movement, as long as we are activating these marchers into different work, whether it be lobbying, postcarding, running for city council, running for school board seats, there are so many other ways to get involved. The march is a vehicle for all of these activists to plug into year-round work. We would be naive to think that a one-day march will solve everything. It doesn't. This is a vehicle to continue the activism year-round, to continue to mobilize the voters. And it's no easy task. This is all run by volunteers. And so we're also facing something that women face all the time. People ask us to do more for free. There is no man out there doing this type of work for free at all. And this, I see this in every sector. Women are asked to volunteer more hours. Women are asked to do more. All of our working full-time jobs, childcare. There is no man putting in 80 hours a week as a volunteer to save democracy.
Emmy, I'm wondering if you can go through some of the policies that the Women's March Foundation has taken positions on, in terms of, you know, when people ask you, and I'm sort of echoing this from earlier, what are you for? Because one of the things that the National Women's March Inc., the one based in New York, struggled with was simply identifying the Women's March as progressive or not. it's, you know, one thing to be pro-women. It's another thing to be progressive and pro-women. What are the positions that the Women's March takes on major issues like immigration?
Well, we are major issues on immigration. I mean, we stand for human rights and women's rights. What is happening at the borders in California where we live is our human rights violations. What is happening at the borders in Texas are human rights violations. And how do they affect women? I think that we are, you know, we stand for human rights, and the violation of human rights is not something that we step back from, and whether that involves climate justice, immigration rights, LGBTQ rights, it takes on so many different sectors. It's a big umbrella, but all of these issues affect women. And so we just have to be strategic and figure out, you know, where we are in 2020. And for us, it's mobilizing voters, mobilizing women and young women to vote or to run for office. Because, again, there are so many issues, and we are a very new organization. I mean, for as much as we are out here marching and creating the change that needs to create for democracy, we also don't know it all. And we are a three-year-old organization, figuring it out as we go along.
Is the Women's March planning on endorsing anyone for president?
Women's March Foundation is a 501c3.
I see.
So we cannot endorse. We do have a C4 arm that is Women's March Action, but we will not be endorsing a presidential
candidate. Are you disappointed with the fact that there aren't more women who have been making it in the sort of top contenders list in this past Democratic debate? Out of the five candidates, two were women, no people of color.
I am disappointed that we are still discussing the fact if a woman has electability issues. I am disappointed that, you know, there are no people of color represented in this now at this point. There are a lot of issues that we still need to work through, including why the women don't run, and part of it is funding. We still don't have equal pay, right? And so when you see female candidates falling off because they don't have funding, now you know why. When you see candidates of color fall off, you know why. It's funding.
Funding is the difference between being able to do things and not do things as an independent journalist in an independent media outlet. I know that all too well. And we do get, you know, people who tend to be independently wealthy and white have that wealth, that disposable income, that family wealth to do the kinds of things that are needed to be done in progressive movements. So certainly it's an issue within our movements as well. So finally, let me ask you this. Going forward, do you see the Women's March continuing to do your annual march year after year? It's 2020 now. We will have a new president next year. We may have a new president next year. Being tied to presidential politics or even just elections in general, do you see that as limiting, or would you like to see the Women's March grow beyond an annual march and beyond voting?
Well, we already see that. Over the past 3 years, we have mobilized voters. We have organized town halls. We want to do more, absolutely. But like I mentioned earlier, this is run by volunteers. This is volunteer activism, volunteer organizers. So I think that there's room to evolve as an organization. And I do think that we will see more political work from Women's March, especially moving beyond 2020. We do hope to elect and put a woman on the ticket for 2020. But also beyond that, the issues don't just go away, because it isn't just the president. It's an entire administration that is not for women's rights. It is not just one person issue. This is an issue across the country in different states. So for us, the work doesn't end. We continue to organize beyond marching. We've been doing that for the past 3 years.
Let me give out that website again where people can find out more about the march in Los Angeles on Saturday, January 18th.
womensmarchfoundation.org.
And then they can also just basically look for their local women's marches if they're outside the LA area. They are taking place in Washington, D.C. and other cities around the country as well. Emmy, good luck to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. We need it.
My guest has been Emiliana Guerica. She's the president of the Women's March Foundation, which is based in Los Angeles. We've been discussing this Saturday's march taking place in downtown LA. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.